We're doing some new series, and I call it Table Talk because I'm just sitting down here at my table here in my home in Rogers, Arkansas. And my name is Don Crow, for those of you that may not know me. Today, we want to talk about authority to preach the gospel. We're going to talk later at a different time about the gospel and what that gospel is and how it is responded to throughout the book of Acts, because the book of Acts is a model of what was being preached in the early church and how people responded to Christ. So we're going to look at that a little later, but today we just want to look for a few moments and see that we have authority to preach the gospel. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 24:14 that this gospel of the kingdom should go into all the world for a witness, and then the end will come. So the gospel's got, it has to go into the entire world to witness to all people groups, all languages, all around the world, to everyone, and then the end will come. Well, Jesus has given the believers authority to do this. And I know a lot of people in the churches think that that's, well, we hired the pastor. He's the one who's supposed to do all of these things. No. In the early church, they were scattered everywhere, it says in the book of Acts, except the apostles. And they proclaimed and preached the word everywhere. And Jesus is the one that gave them authority to do this. I'm going to look at quite a few scriptures here today. I would like to start with Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. The apostle Paul says this. He prays that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Paul's saying, I want the people of God to be enlightened, that they might know something. And here's what he wants them to know. In Ephesians 1 and verse 19, that is the exceeding greatness of his power, of God's power, that is to usward who believe. Do you understand that? Paul is saying that God has given us authority and power, and it's towards us that believe. Let's go back to the book of Acts, and we'll see this very plainly. Starting with Acts chapter 1, it says this. It says in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." I want you to notice that the promise that Jesus left for the believer to carry out his commission is that you shall receive power. And that power then will enable you to be a witness in Jerusalem. Now, where's your Jerusalem? It's wherever you're living. And then Judea, where's your Judea? It's in the state that you live in. It says here, Jerusalem, Judea, then Samaria, then into the other parts of the United States, if you're in the United States, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that promise is to us. Now, we've come up in a culture in our church where through the teaching of seminaries and through the teaching of denominations, that they've taken away the power. You know, we go into our churches, we go in there and we get information and more information. And we go there every week. And sometimes we go 30 or 40 years into a church and we just feel dead and dry. Isn't there more to this? We've taken away the power. You know, we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. Jesus gave authority and power for us to be a witness, and the early church couldn't help but proclaim to teach and preach Jesus Christ as the Messiah and the Lord. Now, I want you just to look at some scriptures here. I'll start with 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, it says this. Paul said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." It wasn't eloquent, a speech that everything was perfect and complete. He says, "My speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in the demonstration of the Spirit and a power." The preaching of the early church was a church full of power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. If we turn over to also to 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says this, "For the kingdom of God," and that's the gospel we're to preach, "for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." How have we gotten in a condition in our churches where the preaching of the kingdom of God, the gospel of his kingdom, is just a something that we do in word? Do you understand what it's saying here? It says the kingdom of God is not in word. It's not just a bunch of words. It's not trying to convince people mentally of some facts and then putting pressure on them to make some kind of response when their heart's not there. But the kingdom of God came not with just word, but in power. "You shall receive power to witness. It will be in the demonstration of the Spirit and in power that will be the thing that gets the job done." Let's look also in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5, he says, "He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" And the answer is, he did it by faith. The person that came in to the Galatian church and began to proclaim Christ, he didn't minister just in words, but in the demonstration of power by the Holy Spirit and miracles. And it was of faith. Where did he get that faith? From the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the commission was to go in all the world, Matthew 28, to go into all the world, well, in Mark 16, "Preach the gospel to every creature," Matthew 28, "all power in heaven and earth," Jesus said, "has been given to me. Go ye therefore," it's been commissioned to you and I as the church. I want you to see, because so many of our churches and so many of our denominations have taken away the power. They have this form of godliness, but they deny the power. And God wants to restore this power so that the job can get done and the preaching of Jesus and the manifestation of his life and his person can again be known in the earth like it was in the book of Acts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only." Do you see that? "For our gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance and deep conviction." The early preaching of Jesus Christ was a message that wasn't trying to just convince people mentally that they should respond and do something, but it came not in just words, but it came in power. The power of the Holy Spirit and demonstrations with signs and wonders and miracles. Now here's an amazing scripture in Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 29. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. Well, actually, the apostles, they were threatened in verse 18 of Acts 4. They commanded them not to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. In verse 21, and when they had further threatened them, you know, they threatened them. And then the early church said this in verse 26, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. And they're praying now. Listen what the prayer is in verse 29 of Acts 4. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants. Are we the servants of the Lord? We certainly are. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. There it is right there. Somebody say, well, there it is. We can speak the word of God and we can speak it boldly because the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. I agree. But look what this is saying in verse 29. Behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Then there's a comma and it continues. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Did you see that? God grant his boldness to speak your word. But it wasn't just in words. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders might be done. How? By the name or the person of thy holy child, Jesus. And that was the prayer there of the early church in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness, with authority, with power, as they stretched forth the hand of God through their laying on of hands, when people were healed and signs and wonders was done, not by their power, not by their holiness, but through Jesus Christ and faith in his name. When the church is restored back to understand they have this kind of authority, then again we will see Jesus Christ proclaimed all over the earth and revealed to people. You know, people need to know the reality of Christ and not just some doctrinal statement in some church building when people are just getting information, because the word of God comes not just with information. It comes with power and authority and signs and wonders because Jesus must be known. Okay, let's look in closing today in Matthew 28, the Great Commission that he's given us all to do. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 28 in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Think about it. Jesus said, all power, all authority and power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Are we in earth right now? All power has been given to him, even in earth. And then notice what he says in verse 19 of Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations. He takes the authority and power that the Father has invested in him, and he invests it in his body by telling the believer to go forth into all the world now and make disciples. That authority has been given to us. Authority to baptize. Did you know you have authority to baptize? That it's not just for the pastor, the preacher, the clergy. You know, let me just say something. In the early church, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, their ministry was to perfect the saints, that the saints would do the work of the ministry. We've got it all backwards. We're sending the generals out and say, hey, send the pastor out. That's what we paid him for. What if we went to war and we just sent the five generals. That's all we had. 5 or 10 or 20 generals. That's all we had. And that was our army. You go out and fight the war. No, you can't fight the war without the army. And the early New Testament pattern was that the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher perfects the saints, that the saints then might do the work of the ministry. This needs to be restored back to the church. Mark chapter 16 says it this way. Jesus gave these words and gave us this authority. In Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to every creature. Oh, let them get it on TV. You know, some TV preacher. No, we're to go to every creature. We're to proclaim Christ boldly. Our mission field is the people that are around us each and every day. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs will follow the believers. Are you a believer? In my name, you have authority. You have power to cast out demons. In Jesus' name, you have authority to worship God in heavenly languages, shall speak in new tongues. You have authority, it says here in verse 18, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You have been given the authority. Let's go out and proclaim Jesus and dare to reach forth our hands and let Jesus' power run through our hands. Let signs and wonders and miracles be demonstrated and Christ will be seen again. Verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed the gospel, confirmed the word with signs following. Lord, may we again be restored to the truths of your word and begin to demonstrate as the early church demonstrated the truth of the gospel.